Title: Call and Response Riff in Ableton Live 12. Resample it with crisp transients and dusty mids for jungle old school DNB vibes intermediate. Alright, let's build one of the most classic jungle moves, a call and response riff. But we're not leaving it as clean MIDI, we're going to print it to audio, rough it up like it came out of a 90s sampler, and then slice it like it's a break so we can do proper edits. This is an intermediate workflow lesson, so I'm assuming you already know your way around clips, routing, basic devices, and how jungle is supposed to sit around the drums and bass. The goal is that sample era feel, crisp transients, dusty midrange, controlled lows, and a riff that talks back to itself. Set your project tempo somewhere around 165 to 172 BPM. That classic pocket, I'll talk as if we're at 170. Lesson overview, a one sentence. Write a 2-bar MIDI riff with a clear call in bar 1 and a response in bar 2. Pre-shape it, resample it to audio, post-process it for bite and dust. Then slice it to a drum rack and edit it like a break. Cool. Step A. Write the call and response MIDI riff. Create a new MIDI track. Command-Shift-T on Mac. Control-Shift-T on Windows. Now choose a simple synth source. Clean is good, because we're going to get our dirt from processing and resampling, not from some over-designed preset. Load Waveatable or Operator. If you're in Waveatable, go basic shapes and lean toward a sine or triangle vibe. Put a low-pass filter on. LP24 is perfect, and give it just a little drive, like 5 to 10%. Then set your amp envelope so it behaves like a stab. Very short attack, basically 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay around 200 to 400 milliseconds. Sustain low or even near zero, and release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. That shape matters because when we resample, the envelope becomes part of the audio. If your release is too long, the riff won't chop like a sample later. If it's too short, it'll feel like it's coughing instead of speaking. So aim for stabby but musical. Create a MIDI clip that's 2 bars long. Let's go a minor for an easy jungle mood. Now the concept. Bar 1 is the call. It should be memorable, a phrase. Bar 2 is the response. It should clearly answer, meaning different contour, different rhythm, different attitude. If the response is basically the same line again, it won't feel like a conversation. Here's a practical rhythm idea while you're on a 16th note grid. In bar 1, put notes on beat 1, then one and, then a syncopated hit late in beat 3, and another hit early in beat 4. In bar 2, simplify a little but add bite. Hit on the downbeat of bar 2, then a stab late in beat 2, another on beat 3, and one late in beat 4. And here's the teacher note. Jungle riffs feel right when they talk around the snare. If your snare is on 2 and 4, don't pile your most important notes exactly on top of those snares unless you really mean it. Try leaving a tiny pocket just before or just after the snare, so the riff feels like it's reacting to the drum, not fighting it. Also, don't obsess about velocity yet. We'll get character later when it's audio and slices. Step B. Make it sample-friendly before resampling. We want to print something that already has punch and focus, but not something harsh or overly hyped. This is a big deal. If you print a thin, polite synth, you'll end up pushing distortion and EQ later just to hear it. If you print something already shaped, the dirt will sound intentional instead of desperate. On the riff track, add a saturator. Set the type to soft sine. Drive it about 3 to 6 dB. Then adjust output so you're not clipping. Next, add EQ 8. High pass it, 24 dB slope, somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz. The point is, your sub and your bassline own the real low end in jungle. The riff is a mid-range hook. Keep it out of the sub's way. Then add a gentle bell boost. 1 to 2 dB. Somewhere between 1.2 and 2.5 kHz. That's thy can hear the phrase range. If it's boxy, do a tiny cut around 300 to 500 Hz, like 1 to 3 dB. Now add drum bus. Yes, on a riff. Set drive around 5 to 15%. Keep crunch low for now. 0 to 10%. Turn transients up. Maybe plus 10 to plus 25. Boom off, or very low, because we're not adding low end here. Finally, add utility. If you want authenticity, keep it fairly mono. At minimum, keep low stuff mono-ish. If you don't have a dedicated mono-below control setup, just keep the whole riff fairly centered at this stage. And gain stage. Aim for your loudest notes peaking around minus 6 dBFS. That headroom matters because once we resample, we're going to process again. If you print it hot, you'll fight clipping and harshness. Extra coach move right here. Print multiple takes before you slice. Before you even resample, do 3 quick versions of the same riff with tiny changes. One version, slightly shorter amp decay. Second, slightly longer decay. Third, filter a touch more open. They'll slice differently later, and it's like having multiple records to cut from when you're doing edits. This is one of those workflow things that feels small, but it massively increases your options. Step C, resample to audio. This is the core edit move. Two options. First option, fast. Resampling. Create a new audio track. Command T or Control T. Set its input to resampling. Arm it. Loop your 2-bar MIDI clip. Hit record and capture exactly 2 bars. Second option. Clean and precise. Freeze and flatten. Right-click the MIDI track. Freeze track. Then right-click again. Flatten. Now it's audio right on that track. Either way, once you have audio, consolidate it. Command J or Control J. Make sure the audio starts exactly at the bar start. If this is off by even a tiny amount, slicing becomes annoying and your groove will feel wrong. One more coach note. If your project has heavy latency-inducing devices elsewhere, like look-ahead processors, resampling can subtly shift feel. So during printing, keep the resample chain light, and save the heavier stuff for after you've got the audio. Live 12 mixer latency awareness helps, but it's still smart to keep printing straightforward. Step D. Post-resample processing. Dusty mids and crisp transients. Now we treat the resampled audio like it came from an old sampler. Not destroyed, just convincingly imperfect. First, at a gate, we're tightening the tail so it chops like a sample. Set the threshold so the tail tucks in. Return should be short, like 0 to 50 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 140 milliseconds. Look ahead 0 to 1 millisecond. You're listening for this. The hit still speaks, but it doesn't leave a long polite synth tail behind. Next, drum bus again, but now we go more character. Drive 10 to 25%. Crunch 10 to 25% for that dusty texture. Transients plus 15 to plus 35 for snap. Damp somewhere like 3 to 8 kHz to keep it vintage and stop it getting brittle. Match output so you're not tricking yourself with louder equals better. Then EQ 8. High pass again. A little higher now, maybe 140 to 220 Hz. Then do the nostalgia boost. A bell boost of 2 to 4 dB around 700 Hz to 1.4 kHz. That's the dusty, forward midrange that reads like old gear and old records. Then gently reduce the modern sparkle with a high shelf down above 8 to 10 kHz, 1 to 4 dB. Now redux. Subtle. Downsample to around 12 to 18 kHz. Bit reduction 0 to 2. And seriously, tiny moves go far here. The target is texture, not fizz. If you want that extra authentic old converter but not harsh feel, try this. Redux into a gentle low pass. So after redux, add auto filter, low pass around 7 to 10 kHz, maybe a touch of resonance. Crunchy info stays, but the very top is politely rolled off. That's a classic way to get dust that sits in the mids instead of dust that sounds like broken glass. Finally, glue compressor for smack. Attack about 3 milliseconds so the transient still pops. Release on auto, or set it around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, ratio 2 to 1. Lower the threshold until you're getting 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on peaks. Just enough to knit it and make it feel sampled. Quick reality check. Don't judge this solo. Soloing lies. Play your break and your bass. Then bring the riff in quietly. If it disappears, don't reach for top end first. Often you want shorter tails, and a small lift around 1 to 3 kHz. If it's audible but irritating, reduce 6 to 10 kHz and keep the presence lower down. Step E. Slice it like a break and create call and response edits. This is where it really becomes jungle. Right-click the resampled audio clip and choose Slice to new MIDI track. Use the built-in slicing preset. Slice by transient if the riff has clear hits. If it's super gridlocked and transients aren't super clear, slice by 1/16th notes. Ableton will build a drum rack full of slices. Now you can reprogram the riff like it's an amen cut-up. Here's a practical approach. Keep bar 1 mostly intact. That's your call, the hook. So you'll trigger 2 to 4 key slices that preserve the phrase. Then bar 2, the response, is where you get playful. A few fast response tricks. 1. Reverse a slice. Open the slice in simpler and hit rev. Keep it to one slice, so it feels like an edit, not like you're playing backwards music. 2. Pitch the response down. In simpler, transpose -3 to -7 semitones. That instantly reads as answer voice and adds menace. 3. Do a turnaround at the end of bar 2. Repeat a tiny slice very fast, like 1/32nd to 1/16th, right before the loop comes back around. That creates tension into bar 1. Now, make your slices behave like a sampler. Open a few key slices in simpler and set a tiny fade in, like 0.5 to 2 milliseconds, that kills clicks without softening the hit. If your start points feel sloppy, use snap so the start marker locks to the transient, and keep voices low, 1 to 2. That single voice cutoff is a huge part of why stutters sound intentional in old sampling workflows. Micro timing, but do it with intention. Instead of randomly nudging notes, nudge by roll. Push some of the answer hits slightly early, around minus 5 milliseconds, so they sound impatient and aggressive. Then pull the last response hit slightly late, like plus 8 to plus 15 milliseconds, so the turnaround feels heavier. And remember, if your break has busy ghost snares, your riff should leave more air there. Even if you're not sidechaining, you want the mental ducking. You want the drums to still feel like the main narrator. Optional but classic, sidechain the riff slightly to the snare for clarity. Put a compressor on the riff track, key it from the snare, ratio 2 to 1, fast attack, medium release, and just 1 to 2 dB of duck on snare hits. That's enough to tuck it without making it pump. Step F. Arrangement ideas. Put it into a rolling DNB context. Try a classic 16-bar structure. Bars 1 to 4. Intro. Call phrase only, filtered. Use auto filter low pass so it feels like it's coming in from the next room. Bars 5 to 8. Hook A. Full call and response. This is where people learn the conversation.